So over the past 6 months or so, I put a little bit of review in there to just give you a reminder of the context of where we are and where we're headed. So we started last year, probably summertime, talking about living life right side up in an upside down world with the Sermon on the Mount. And we'll get back to that, by the way. I mean, we spent a lot of time on the Beatitudes and a couple of the following scriptures. And then we talked about, we had our fall emphasis called Goliath Must Fall. And this was all about Jesus, as David was the, Jesus was a depiction of David. David represented Jesus as the one who kills the giants in our lives. Those things that will take us away from God, cause us to fear. And so we talked about allowing Jesus to defeat the giants in our lives. And then out of that study, we identified the SLO, slow lifestyle, which represents, S stands for, L stands for, and O stands for, there's not much enthusiasm there. So let's do that again. S stands for, L stands for, O stands for, and then we talked, and so that took us through the Christmas season as we saw some people who live that kind of life, and then we start talking about praying that God would give you His word for you for 2020. What is it that God wants to be working on for you? And so if you haven't heard that from God yet, continue to pray and ask God, what is it that He wants to work on you? What is the anchor for your year? And then we moved into iron sharpening iron relationships, friendships, ISI. And that these are essential if God is going to work into in our lives. We've looked at some examples of them. We looked at David and Jonathan. We looked at Paul and Barnabas. You heard some testimonies the week I was gone. People in other people's lives. Last week we heard about some of that through the No Regrets Conference as the men returned from that. And now, and my challenge has been pray and ask God to show you how you are to develop those kinds of relationships in your life. Relationships with these characteristics. Go back to the scripture again. This was our scripture for January. Say it with me. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. And where's it found? Proverbs 27:17. And so here are the characteristics that we identified. It's a slow lifestyle, which stands for surrender, listen, obey. When we have an iron sharpening iron kind of relationship, we serve the best interests of one another, and that's all about love. So we are, instead of thinking of ourselves, we're serving the best interests of the other person, not necessarily what they want, but what's in their best interest. That's love. We speak truth in love with one another, not necessarily what a person might want to hear, but we saw how in these relationships people poke one another by asking hard questions, identifying difficult issues that need to be addressed, that need to be brought to light. Speaking the truth in love is doing that. And then the fourth characteristic is that we shove one another along the right path. Sometimes we need to push from somebody else. And we saw examples of that. This is about pushing one another along the path that God wants them to take. So those are the iron sharpening iron characteristics. Those are the kind of relationships we need to develop. So as we continue to talk about this slow lifestyle, surrender, listen, and obey, surrender we talk a lot about. Surrender is letting go. It's opening our hands to God and saying, whatever you want to do, do whatever you want to do. Obedience is doing what He tells us to do. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand obedience is if somebody tells you to do something, to obey them is to do it. But listening and hearing God's voice is probably the most difficult part of these three activities. So I want to spend the next few weeks talking about that. How do we listen to God and hear his voice when he speaks. And so today I want to zero in, focus in on what that will look like to pay attention. Because that's the, kind of the first part is to pay attention. For those of you that are old, you'll recognize this. For those of you that are young, you probably have no idea. I love those. Every once in a while, I run across a video online, usually through Facebook, where something 19, 20-year-old will be asked to use a boombox or a rotary telephone or a fold-a-map. And so for those of you that are young, this is what a radio used to look like. It wasn't an app on your phone, and it wasn't something in your car. This was a radio. And this, and you had to plug them in, that's right. This is the old-fashioned Wi-Fi right here. This is, you plug it into the wall to get power, and then you had to tune it to the station that you wanted. Now, the difficulty was, to get the station that you wanted, you had to tune it with this little dial. And so, I don't know if you can see, there's red here. You had to tune it so that you could find the station you wanted. So 101.5 is Word FM, and so you had to use that. But the problem was sometimes what you would hear is, and so you think, oh, well, maybe I need, anybody recognize this? I need to raise the antenna because this small piece of metal had a magical quality of zeroing in on these waves that are going through the air to make it so that you could actually hear the station that you were looking for. Antenna up, you get better quality, the potential for reception. For those that are young, cars used to have one of these on them. Now, you can't find the antenna in your car. And that antenna was supposed to find the radio station. There was also a thing called a television when we were growing up that wasn't connected to cable. The only way that you could get stations, now I'm really... For those of you that are young, do you want to take a guess how many stations we could get when I was a kid? Luke? Eight? No, about half that. We got about three or four radios or television stations, three major networks, and usually the public station. I lived out in the country, way out in the country. Not only out in the country, but if you drove to the house where I grew up, it was down in a valley. The closest TV station was 25 miles away. Without an antenna, it was hopeless to try to get anything. And I'm not talking about an antenna on your TV. Although, remember when we were in college, or you in your first apartment, and you had these rabbit ears, you know, coming out of your television, and you couldn't get it. So what did you do? You take aluminum foil. And somehow wrapping aluminum foil around it and zeroing in and trying to get the antenna. Why? Because the whole point was to try to get the signal, to try to hear or see what it was being transmitted that you were trying to receive. I grew up out in the country, so I had to help my dad install a 25-foot antenna. It had three different sections with these big pipes on them in order to try to get those three stations. Because in order to hear or see, you had to receive what was being sent. And the only way to receive what was being sent was to have an antenna tall enough and powerful enough to be able to receive that station. For us to be able to hear God and Him to come in clearly, we have to have our antenna up. We have to be paying attention so that we, as the receiver, can have the voice of God, the pictures of God, the understanding of God, the connection with God that we long for and that he wants to give us. And many people go through life and they don't take the time to put the antenna up. They just go along through life and wonder why they're not getting any reception. So let's talk about it. In the Old Testament, there's a story about a boy named Samuel. Samuel was Hannah's child. Hannah, if you go back a couple of chapters in the book of 1 Samuel, Samuel was the child that Hannah had prayed for. She couldn't have children. Prayed for, God miraculously granted her this child, and she promised God that she would dedicate this child, allow him to serve in the temple when he got to be just a young boy. He no longer nursing, and so he lives in the temple now. He's just a young child, probably 5, 6, 7 years old. And we pick up the story. It says 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. Eli was the priest in the temple. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision because people were not, didn't have their antenna up. They weren't paying attention to God. They were going about their own business. They just wanted God to do what they wanted him to do. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So here's Samuel, young boy, and the voice of God speaks to him, but he didn't know it was the voice of God. He thought Eli was calling him, and so he runs and says, "Here I am. You called me." Eli says, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." So he went and lay down, and the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Now that's an important statement. Because you go through life, you're born and you live, and you don't automatically know God's voice. And so Samuel's in the same place that most of we are. Because we have to learn to recognize God's voice. And the Lord called Samuel a third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. And he said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And in some translations, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." And so the voice of God was speaking, but Samuel didn't recognize. But at the point where he was informed by Eli, the priest, that it was the voice of the Lord, and he responded, recognizing, okay, it must be the Lord, and responded with, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears, your servant is listening," then God can give him the message. That's the model that we want to talk about today. What is it that we need to understand in order to hear the voice of God? Number one, we need to understand that God is constantly speaking. God is constantly speaking. What does God's voice sound like? Write this down. God's voice has an otherness about it. It has a quality that it is outside of ourselves. For instance, let's say something comes to mind. For me, not long ago, I think it was last spring. I was here for a meeting, and as I'm driving home, this thought came to mind. Watch out for deer. Now, I have that thought sometimes, because this morning, on the way to digging deeper, a herd of 7 or 8 deer right in front of me. But this time, it was different. And I think it was exactly, slow down because there are deer. Slow down because there are deer. And so I'm driving home, and as I'm driving up through our neighborhood, I sense it again. Slow down because there are deer. And I slowed down, and where I would have been had I been going the regular speed, there were deer that crossed in front of me. Now, is the most important thing on God's agenda the fact that I don't hit a deer? No. But does God care enough about me to alert me sometimes about things just because he loves me? Yes. Now, in that conversation, there was an otherness about that. There are times that come to mind, something comes to mind, that it seems different than ordinary thought. And generally, it bugs you persistently until you do something about it. And then, there are usually unexpected results as a result of it, and you realize that God is speaking. Now, it could be due to your superior intellect and exceptional perceptiveness that you understand things, or you see things, or you act differently, or you have this understanding. Or it could be because God is speaking. Because usually what I've discovered is when God is speaking in those ways, when you sense the voice of God, you realize I'm not smart enough to have known that. I'm not smart enough to have seen that. I'm not smart enough to realize I need to pray for that person. And later on, I find out they're going through something really hard. I'm not smart enough for that. There's an otherness about that. God is constantly speaking. You hear stories sometimes about a mother who will know something's going on with their child, right? You've heard those stories? And so they act, or they go in and the child has stopped breathing, or they call the child at college and they were almost in a car accident. You hear those kinds of stories. And in the world, and our culture has an incredible number of explanations for that. I've heard things like, Well, it's the accumulated wisdom of mankind passed down from the beginning of time. It's the supernatural, or it's the miraculous connection between a parent and a child. It's an emergency survival instinct because they don't understand who God is. And a lot of times these are people who don't even have a relationship with God. But here's the deal. It rains on the just and the unjust, and God's love pours out on all people. Does he care enough about someone who is not even following God that he would wake that mother up to go in and care for that child? Absolutely he does, because God is always speaking. Most of the time we don't recognize that it's his voice because our antennae are not up. We're hearing the message, but we're not recognizing who it is. God loves everyone, and he's working all the time, and he's caring for people. In theological terms, they call that prevenient grace. Prevenient meaning before salvation, before relationship. Grace meaning his undeserved favor. God is always speaking. So when you're listening for God's voice, pay attention to the otherness. When something comes to mind that seems different, when something comes to your heart or your thought, or when seem to have an insight that's different, pay attention to those kinds of things. So listening for God's voice. Another aspect of it is it's an otherness, but it also resonates in a different way. It's more than a thought. It's deeper than that. And it can come in a lot of different ways. And so we're going to talk about it the next couple of weeks and dig more into that. But that's what to pay attention to. Now, when we're talking about Christ followers, people who are in relationship with Christ, we need to listen for God is speaking all the time in the context of a love relationship. In the context of a love relationship. This is what God wants for us. So we're moving from God speaks to everybody and, you know, because he loves everybody. Now we're speaking to a different kind of relationship, a relationship with people who know Christ as Savior and have this relationship. So in the context of relationship, there's this conversation that God wants to have with us. John chapter 10, Jesus says, verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. The devil. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So Jesus says, my desire is for you to have life, have it to the full. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. And here he's talking about the Gentiles. Jewish people were the ones that Jesus came to, but he says, everybody. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. And so Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, and the sheep know my voice. And so it's this context of love relationship, because God wants us to have life and have it abundantly. And so God is always speaking. He is always talking to us. It's through the Holy Spirit within us. John chapter 14 again, or John, the Gospel of John again, verses chapter 14, beginning with verse 16, says, Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. So here Jesus, and if you are using our New Song Journal, reading the passages of Scripture that go along with it, you were reading through John this week. John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus talks over and over again about how the Holy Spirit is his Spirit, that he will send to live within us. He is with you, Jesus says, now around you, but after Jesus dies, goes to heaven, he'll send the Holy Spirit to live within you. So if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, when we pray, when we're listening to the voice of God, we're not listening out there. We're listening for the Spirit of God that lives in here. That's why as you listen to the voice of God, you're listening for something that resonates in here, because that's where he lives. These things I've spoken to you, verse 25, John 14, I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And so here God is speaking. Jesus is speaking through his Spirit that lives within us all the time. It's just a matter of whether we're recognizing his voice, whether we are paying attention to follow what he tells us to do. It may be through a message like this, that you hear the voice of God and something resonates here. You may be listening to a Christian song, and it's more than the song this time. It's Jesus saying to you, I want you to hear this right now because this is for you. It may be talking in conversation with someone else and they say something and that statement is other. There's an other quality that resonates deep within you, and it's the Spirit of God. You see, God wants us to hear his voice. He is always speaking and he wants us to hear his voice. Number two, God is constantly speaking. Number two, we must learn to recognize God's voice. So God is speaking, and we may be hearing it. We think it's our own ideas. We're not really paying all that much attention. Sometimes we go, oh, that was a good idea, and we take credit for it. And we're not recognizing the voice of God. But Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He says that several different times. What he's saying is, this is your soul. This is your ears, the soul, the ears of your soul. Live with your antenna as high as it will go. And the longer you're a Christian and the more you begin to learn to recognize his voice, what you discover is this antenna gets higher, higher, and higher, and higher, so that you're catching even the faintest of stations. We need to learn to recognize his voice. And it's a learned skill. Learning to recognize his voice is by hearing his voice. Tuesday morning, I got a call from my youngest son, Chad, who lives in Seattle, at an hour when he would not normally have been up. So I answered the phone. I said, "Chad, what's up?" Because nowadays, you have a phone, and when it rings, their name is already there. For those of you that are younger, it used to be when you pick up the rotary phone that it's just a handle, and you had to depend on recognizing the person's voice. And so I saw that it was Chad, and I talked to him, and I said, I think you better call Grandma. Because I got a call from the bank today, and she was in there asking to withdraw money to send it to New York because I'm in jail and I need money in order to appear in court. And she's supposed to send a T-shirt. And so Chad said, I'm not sure she's okay. So after I got done talking with him, I called my mom. And I said, "Mom, are you okay?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I got a call from Chad this morning." She said, "Yeah." Here's the story. She gets a call early in the morning that Chad has been arrested. He's in jail in New York, and he needs money that she needs to wire to him so that he can get out of jail to appear in court. It's exactly a scam. But an 85-year-old lady who loves her grandchildren, even though I've told her about this scam, suddenly can only think about her grandchildren. She goes into the bank where she used to be a teller, and she waits for her good friend, who's now manager of the bank, explains the whole situation, and she says to her, "Thelma, it's a scam. Which one of your kids is your grandson, son of?" And she said, "Oh, they told me not to call his parents because parents don't know anything yet." And so Sally, the manager of the bank, says, "Well, do you have your grandson's phone number?" "Yeah, let's call him." So they call him, and, "No, I'm in Seattle. I'm not in New York." So I got a hold of her, and she said, "Oh, I am thanking God over and over again that Sally was there, and she saved me from sending all my money away." But she said, and this is the point of me telling you the story, just so that you know, so you can have your antenna up, and this is the point. She said, it's partly my fault, because when the person said, "Hi, Grandma," I said, "Oh, hi, Chad." And the person on the other end of the line said, "Oh, you recognized my voice." And then it just went. And then that person knew her grandson was named Chad, and he mimicked her. Now, the reason she doesn't know his voice is because they don't talk, hardly ever. If I picked up the phone, I would recognize his voice just like that, because for 30 years, I've been talking to him. He grew up in my home. If it was my mom, I would recognize her voice just like that. Why? Because over a period of time, the skill of recognizing someone else's voice is by spending time with that other person. My mom doesn't have enough interaction with Chad to recognize his voice because she remembers him as a little kid, and his voice is not the same as it used to be. You will only recognize God's voice if you develop the skill by spending enough time to hear his voice, to recognize his voice. And the more you spend time with him, the more you recognize his voice, the higher your antenna will go, and the more quickly you will recognize his voice when he speaks. How do we recognize his voice through the Bible? Number one, priority, high priority is through the Bible. Through the Bible. Samuel didn't know God's voice because he hadn't heard God's voice. The Bible is the voice of God. And through the Holy Spirit living within us, he makes the Bible come alive. So that as we hear things come to mind, then we recognize it aligns with the Bible. It sounds just like the Bible. And so as we read the Bible and we get to know what it sounds like, and the Spirit of God speaks the truth through the Word of God as we read it and as we study it, then we recognize, then when the Holy Spirit speaks when we're about our day, we begin to recognize it more. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. It's breathed out by God. Hebrews tells us that it is the Spirit of God speaking through us. It's like a two-edged sword showing us the truth. So if you want to recognize God's voice, you get familiar with his voice through the Word of God. And when you hear something and you think, is that God speaking? You run it through the filter. Because if God, so here's, over the years of ministry, I've heard people say things like, I believe God wants me to divorce my spouse and marry somebody else. You run that through the filter of the Bible, and what do you discover? No, God doesn't say that. God does not speak that way. We've heard crazy people. The voice of God told me to kill these people. Right? Is that the voice of God? No. Why? Because that would never, ever agree with the Bible. This is how we align it. And so this is the filter that we run it through. This is how we hear. Through other Christ followers. So Samuel doesn't recognize the voice of God, but Eli, the priest, has heard the voice of God. He knows, and he has indications of how God works. And so if this little boy is hearing a voice in the temple, it must be God. And so another believer, another person who had been serving God, points Samuel to the fact that what you're hearing is the voice of God. It's why it's so important that we spend time around others. Iron sharpens iron. God uses the body of Christ to help us hear. I can't tell you how many times I've heard the voice of God through other believers. And not always preachers. Our prayer gatherings over the last year, we've been using great hymns of the faith as in the scriptures that go along with it as a way of connecting with God and knowing God better and worshiping him. And every single time we gather, I hear something come out of somebody else's mouth that the voice of God teaches me something, reminds me of something, shows me something. There have been times when I've had good friends, when I'm going through a difficult time, sit across the table from me and say, Herb, you need to understand that God loves you and he says you are a good man of God. And immediately I just start weeping. Why? Because it's the voice of God. It has more power than just an ordinary voice. One of the indicators for me, and I don't know if this is true for everybody, if it's just my personality, but so very oftentimes when I hear the voice of God through a song, through a message, through somebody else, there's an emotion. It's not usually full-out tears, although sometimes it is, but I get tears in my eyes because I'm overwhelmed that the God of the universe would love me so much that he would take the time to speak through that person or through that song or through that situation to talk to me. Other believers. We see it. And so that's why prayer gatherings and the annual meeting and those kinds of times are so important, because we spend time together. Now, I don't know if I've ever heard God's voice come through Russ when he does the Smothers Brother imitation that he does. But you never know when God's going to speak. So you keep your antenna up. And so I've heard God's voice through the Bible, through another person, through conversation. Just as I've been on the treadmill or walking a trail, I just sense God saying something. Listening to Christian music, sitting with him or with other people. And so we see throughout the New Testament that it's through other people. If you think you hear the voice of God and you're not sure, talk to somebody else. another Christ follower to say, does this sound like God? Does this? Because God will confirm it. He wants you to hear, and he wants you to hear clearly. Number three, we have to learn to be in constant conversation with God. We need to learn to recognize his voice, but we also need to learn to be in constant conversation because God is always speaking. And so, since he's always speaking, we have the opportunity to be in constant communication with him. I almost hate to use the word prayer anymore because prayer, in most people's minds, is this disconnected from life, spiritual activity that we say words rather than a conversation with the loving Heavenly Father that cares more about us than we can imagine. And so it's conversation. When we're talking about hearing God's voice, it's about being in constant conversation. And this, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening, is a good way to have that conversation, to speak in that to God in that way. And so it's a learned skill to have the conversation. If you could think back, those of us that are older, centuries, to when we were little, do you remember a time when you were intimidated to try to have a conversation with someone that's older? You know, when you're just a little kind of tyke and you know, these people seem so big and so, you know, I couldn't ever have a conversation with the principal of my school. Are you kidding me? I don't even want to go in that office. I've heard stories about what happens when you go in there. There was a classmate that went in there and nobody has ever seen him again. I don't want to go in there. And so we're intimidated because we don't know how to talk to big people. And then you start dating, you know, and you try to have a conversation with the opposite sex and you can't figure out what to say and what to do. And then you get married and you realize you never will figure out what to say and what in the world they're talking about. Conversation. And so I sit in my office and I, you know, especially for people that are getting married, and I'm teaching them how to talk about caring for the other person, putting yourself in that other person's shoes. So it's a skill. It's a learned skill that we have to be constantly working on. Why would we think conversation with God is any different? Why would we think at the moment when we accept him as Savior, then we've got the skills? You know, one of the most intimidating things that I hear people talk about is, I can't pray in public. I can't pray in front of other people. Here's being translated, that means my idea of prayer is not conversation with God. It's performance. It's making sure I say the right thing in front of other people because they might think badly of me or that I'm making mistakes. The devil has convinced us of that. But if you can talk to another human being, with another human being there, you can pray in public. Because it's just conversation with God. But it's a learned skill. Learning how to talk to God. John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. Remember, he's talked about, I'm the good shepherd. So my sheep, those that are in my flock, those that are under my care, those that I'm providing for, those that I'm leading to food and water, those that I'm providing healing for, they know my voice. They hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And then Jeremiah 33 in the Old Testament says, call to me, and I will answer you. Here's the heart of God. Talk to me. Call to me, and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. The God, as our loving Heavenly Father, wants to talk with us all the time, wants to love on us, wants to hear from us. I don't know if you know this, but I have some grandchildren. Some of you, those of you that are newer to this song, going, why is everybody laughing? It's because I've said it about 1,000 times since I had grandchildren. So I have these grandkids. And one of the joys is just to listen to them. One of the joys is, you know, when they see me, Papa, Papa. When you see the smile on their face. Now, all of our grandchildren are almost 4 and under. So I'm not having highly intelligent conversations with these little ones. It's a lot of jabbering, a lot of fun, a lot of laughing, a lot of talking about the rabbits and the book that they're reading. It brings me such great joy. Why? Because conversation is not about sending memos or giving information. It's about relationship connection. And your loving Heavenly Father wants that from you. Did you know that you can bring incredible joy to God just by turning to Him? Just by saying, Lord, speak. You got anything to say to me? What's on your mind today? What's going on? I'm listening. I'm paying attention. It's relational connection. And God wants to hear. But we have to learn how to do that. It's a skill. And so we talk a lot about having a quiet time with God. And that's one of the ways of putting our tent up. So let me give you very quickly as we wrap it up. How can you put your antenna up? How can you be in that constant conversation? Start each day with surrender and focused conversation. Start each day with surrender and focused conversation. Having a quiet time, having a devotional time, is about relational connection. It's about knowing God better. It's about knowing what He wants from you. It's about connecting with Him and worshiping Him. It's about listening to Him. It's about talking with Him. It's about conversation. It's not a to-do item to check off. It's about giving yourself to God in relational connection. So look at me. If you have a quiet time and you read the chapter in your Bible and you pray the prayer, the words, and you don't walk away having connected with God, you have not had time with God. Go eat Wheaties instead. Go watch the morning news. Go do, because it's as if you're not having any more effect in your life unless you're having relational connection. Now, there are some times when you won't feel anything, but there are some times when you are with somebody in your family when you don't necessarily feel anything huge, but you've been together. Sometimes the greatest quiet time you can have is just to sit with God and give Him space. Say, God, I tell you, there are times when I feel like I just can't bring, I'm just too tired. I can't bring myself to read my Bible. Is that a horrible confession for a pastor? Some of you are going, oh, yeah. No, there's just sometimes, and so here's the invitation I sense from God. Just come be with me and let me pour into your soul. And so I'll kneel beside the bed in my office, or I'll just sit in my chair, and I'll just be with God. God, whatever you want to do today, I'm just so tired. And then I might sense Him say, well, turn on Caleb. And when I do, well, I didn't expect this. Inevitably, there will be a song that isn't just a song. A song that I've heard many, many times before. But in that moment, it's empowered with the Spirit of God, and I hear God saying, I love you. I care for you. There's purpose in the pain that you're going through right now. Don't worry about things. I might sense Him telling me to open the Bible to a particular chapter. And I just start reading, and suddenly it's not the words on the page anymore. It's something different. And inevitably, in those times, I was so tired when I came. And physically, I'm still tired. But my soul is full. And I'm encouraged. And I can face the day. And I know it's going to be okay. That's what our Heavenly Father desires for us. It's not about putting in my time. It's about having conversation with God. Start your day with surrender. So it changes everything when you start with surrender. And here I am. Speak. Do whatever you want. And so you start your day with surrender, conversation, focused on Him. And then, because it sets the pace. When we were on vacation in Seattle, and the busyness with grandkids and all of that, I wasn't having as much focused start the day time with God. I was having time, but it wasn't the solid time that I try to spend with Him. And looking back, there were a couple of different times when I realized He'd talked to me, but I didn't recognize because my antenna wasn't up high enough. For instance, so one day we were spending with our daughter and. She went to work. Her husband went to work. We had the two girls. And the conversation had been, Zach, the girls are not going to be in daycare. They're going to be home with Nana and Papa all day long. So you don't have to go to daycare, which is 15 minutes out of your way, 15 minutes back. You don't have to go there and pick them up. Throughout the day, this thought came across my head. You should text Zach. And remind him that you have the girls. And it went across my mind several times. And I didn't do anything with it. And Zach walked in the door, miffed. Because he had forgotten. And he drove 15 minutes out of his way to pick up the girls, got to daycare, realized somebody had stolen them. And then had to drive 15 minutes back to the house. Now, that's not a big deal. But it was God, looking back on it, I recognize it now, it was God saying, do your son-in-law a favor and let him know, remind him. And several different times. But because I didn't have that focus time with God and my antenna wasn't high enough, it didn't register. That's how that quiet time, that time with God, it gets you in tune. And so then as you go throughout the day, touch base with God throughout the day. Just so as you're going throughout the day, Lord, anything you want to say to me, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Pause for a moment before you eat your meals. As you're driving to work, before you turn the radio on, just pause and spend a few moments with God. Anything going on, God? I need just your mind go to God. Touch base throughout the day. Be in constant listening mode. So intentionally fine-tune your receiver. Have the antenna up. To remove the static. And then respond when you hear God's voice. When God speaks, there's a purpose for it. If He tells you to do something, it's because He loves you. And He loves other, and He even loves your son-in-law who drove out of his way because you weren't paying attention. So obey. When you hear God's voice, obey. One of the principles is if God's telling you something and you're not obeying, it kind of puts a block up there for Him to tell you much else. So obey. And then write it down. Write it down. Write it. Look at me. Look at me, especially you old people. When you hear God say something significant, write it down. Use a journal to put it down. Because if it's significant, God will come back to it. And you need to have it there available to you. Because we forget so quickly what God has told us. So just write it down. And we'll talk more about that way of having that conversation as we go forward. The quality of your relationship with God determines the quality of your conversation with Him. Go deep with Him. But on the flip side, the quality of your conversation depends on the quality of relationship. The quality of your relationship depends on your quality of conversation. So the place to start is conversation. talking with God, listening to God, getting your antenna up so that you hear his voice, because he's always talking. He's always talking. He's always talking, not just with orders, but with his heart, how much he loves you and cares for you and wants for you. It's about conversation with the God who loves you more than you love yourself. So what do you need to do to put your antenna up a little higher? Listen a little better. Pay attention as you go throughout your day. I guarantee you, the quality of your life will improve in ways that you can't even recognize. Would you bow your heads? The next couple of weeks, we'll follow up on hearing God's voice, listening to God's voice, what it looks like, how it works, some examples of it. But it all starts with a willingness to say to God consistently, "Speak, Lord, I'm listening. Speak, Lord, I'm surrendered. You're my master. Speak, Lord. I want to hear it. I want to obey. I want to experience you." So many problems in life will be avoided if we listen and obey. So many experiences that will bless us, deepen us, strengthen us, give us that abundant life will happen when we listen and obey. It takes concentrated effort, time, focus, and it's worth it. So as we begin talking about this, would you be willing to say to God, "Lead me to have conversation with you. Lead me to hear your voice. Lead me to walk moment by moment with you. I will do whatever you ask me to do. Let me hear your voice." Lord, you've said that you want to do exceedingly and abundantly more than all that we could ask or imagine, according to the power of your Spirit that lives within us. I pray that out of what we've looked at today, you would lead us to experience that in conversation with your Spirit that lives within us. I pray that you would help us to remove the distractions, that you would help us to get our antenna as high as possible, that we'll hear your faintest whisper, and we'll walk hand in hand with you. I pray that you would honor each person here that has expressed that desire. Tell them exactly what you need them to do and help us to experience hearing you and walking with you together as your family, your body, your army. In the name of Jesus, we pray.